It's that time, the Betting Predators podcast, where our main objective is hunting down the best bets for you. I'm your host, Sleepy J. You guys can find me on Twitter at SleepyJ_pregame. Joined here by the football guru, football fanatic, got Steve in the house. You guys can find him at AvoidTheVig on Twitter. You guys could always get us at BettingPredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, Pregame.com. All right, guys, here we go. NFL Week 12. Steve and I, we're going to go ahead. We're going to break down like seven NFL games for you. Uncle Dave and I, we went ahead. We did the Thanksgiving Day games already. So if you guys haven't seen that, you guys can go ahead and check that out. Those games are up and posted. But Steve and I, we're going to go ahead and break down some of these games, give you guys some of our bets that we like for the week. Steve, going to go ahead and start it out here with Tampa Bay. They'll be on the road here in Cleveland. Current line in this game, Tampa Bay -3.5. We have a total of 43. How are you feeling about that one?
Yeah, after a 3-5 start to the year, Tampa Bay is starting to find their groove. With their defensive front seven back to full strength and their wideouts working their way back from injury, they're certainly a team on the rise. Add in the fact that Brady and company are coming off their bye, this is a good spot for Tampa Bay as far as the schedule goes. On the other side of the football, the Browns find themselves in a bad position. Brissett has played well over expectation, ranking top 10 according to PFF and QBR. But with Deshaun Watson on the precipice of returning, there will be a changing of the guards in Cleveland. Inevitably, Watson will get some additional practice this week, which correlates to less for Brissett. And to reiterate, Brissett has not been the problem with Cleveland. In fact, their offense ranks fourth in rushing, sixth in passing, according to DVOA. And unless Watson plays for the Browns defense, I'm not sure he's going to be the savior the Browns faithful are looking for. I do expect the Browns to be able to run the ball on the offense, and as Tampa Bay's supposed vaunted run defense no longer ranks in the top 10, Tampa Bay supporters will point to Brady as the difference maker, but he's only been average on the year. I typically like fading bad coaches coming off a bye, and Todd Bowles does fit that mold. But road teams off a bye are actually a good subset, so maybe that cancels each other out. I also generally like fading teams on a win streak, like Tampa is, and backing teams on a losing streak, like the Browns. And with all that said, I only make Tampa a small favorite, so catching a hook seems quite appetizing. Add in the fact that Tampa is a team leaving the comfortable confines of Florida to play in Cleveland with the forecast in the 40s and potential rain, I'm on Cleveland +3.5.
All right, so Steve, I'm going to go ahead and take a look at Cleveland. 3.5 points. I do know that Uncle Dave likes the under. This is one of his best bets of the week. He completely convinced me of going ahead and taking this game under. I don't know if you guys need the handicap on that, but you know he expects a lot of running in this one. Weather's going to be nasty there. Both defenses should probably step up. I do worry about a little bit about Brissett, you know, kind of where his mindset's at. You know, if he's excited, you know, to go ahead and lose his job. Most people aren't, and sometimes they just get a little bit nervy and don't play all that well. But the Tampa defense is going to be fresh, going to be ready. I think it's going to slow Cleveland down. So Cleveland's going to have to run here with Chubb as much as possible, but I don't think that's going to be easy sledding either. And something's going on with Fournette. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's just a little hurt. Maybe he's a little tired. But he hasn't looked right in the last couple games, so who knows what's going to happen there. But the under seems like the play, so we'll go ahead. We'll play the under 43. I'm just going to agree here with Uncle Dave with that game. Let's jump to our next here. We got the Bengals. We got the Titans. Cincinnati will be on the road here in Tennessee. Cincinnati will be a favorite -1.5. We have a total of 42.5. Steve, I'll let you go out with this one first. How are you feeling about that one?
Yeah, two teams that could be playing for playoff positioning this Sunday, both on a two-game winning streak. And the underlying numbers favor Cincinnati's, despite their worst record. Is that why Tennessee is seeing so much disrespect in the marketplace? They're 7-3, 8-2 ATS, they're home. And the Bengals have their starting running back Joe Mixon in concussion protocol and star wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase questionable and may not play. That's really still up in the air. Add in the fact that Tennessee had extra time to prepare and Cincinnati let up 30 points to Kenny Pickett and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not sure why the Titans are catching points here. This is the Dave Esler wrong team favored play of the day for me. On top of that, some of those aforementioned season-long Tennessee stats may be misleading because of Malik Willis's poor performance in relief. And I think in general, those advanced metrics tend to fade teams that run first and rely on their defense, and that's certainly what the Titans do. Now, Tennessee isn't off a bye, but Vrabel does have extra time to prepare. And looking specifically at those bye weeks, since hiring Vrabel, Tennessee is 4-0 straight up and ATS off a bye, winning 20-0, 42-16, 42-20, and 28-14. So he does very, very well with extra time to prepare, which I think is going to aid him more than it would the average coach. I bet Tennessee plus 2.5, but obviously teasing it up makes a heck of a lot more sense, which I did as well. And if Chase does not play, I do think this is a smash spot for Tennessee for me.
I'd agree with you with that. It's just tough for me to pull the trigger on Tennessee with the way that their offense struggles. But their defense is playing really well, only giving up 18.5 points per game. I would lean again here to the under 42.5. You know, if the Bengals don't have Chase, and let's just say somehow Mixon doesn't play, you have to wonder what the Bengals offense is going to look like. It's not going to be easy going on the road against Tennessee's defense, who's had, you know, time to kind of relax a little bit, prepare a little bit extra, probably get a little healthy. But the Tennessee passing attack doesn't do anything for me. And I think the last thing that the Titans want to do here against this Bengals team is have Tannehill throwing the ball. We remember what happened when Tannehill threw the ball in the playoffs last year. It wasn't good. So I could see a heavy dose of Derrick Henry here saying, you know what, we really haven't relied, and I don't think, I mean, people could disagree, that they really relied on Derrick Henry to go ahead and win a game for them. And I think that this is going to be that game. I'm not sure which Cincinnati offense shows up, the one without Ja'Marr Chase where they can't score points, or the one without Ja'Marr Chase where they can. They scored 42 points against Carolina, 37 points against the Steelers, so it's not like they're struggling to go ahead and score. But for some reason, I do feel like this probably could be one of the games where they struggle a little bit here. Both of these teams know how important this game is. Probably a close-to-the-vest game. Whoever wins the turnover battle will probably end up winning. So I'll go ahead. I'll play the under in that one. Can't pick a side because I am kind of heavily invested here in the Bengals throughout, you know, for the future and stuff like that. Let's jump over to a more interesting game. We got the Texans and we have the Dolphins. Dolphins going to be almost two touchdown favorites here, there, Steve. Miami minus 13, total 46.5. I'll go first on this one. I think this Texans team is just a dead team right now. They have one win on the year. I think they know what the future holds for them. They could potentially end up with a number one pick, get rid of this quarterback in Davis Mills, who I think isn't very good. I mean, if you watched him last week, he was absolutely terrible. Texans offensive line, not good at all. And Miami kind of right now with some rest, they're going to be drooling. I know it's hard to lay double digits in the NFL, but at some point you have to do it. And I'm not sure about this total because Miami could go out there and just put up 45 points by themselves, and you're only asking the Texans to go ahead and break through here like once or twice. I do feel like this game's a blowout. I would actually lay the 13 points here. This line was 12 yesterday when I did this podcast with Uncle Dave, and I mentioned, you know, that I liked Miami at 12, that I thought that this would go up to 14. So I would go ahead, I would grab Miami now because I have a feeling by Sunday you're laying 14 points. I wouldn't even be shocked if you're laying 14.5. I don't think anybody's going to want anything to do with this Texans team. And it's really hard to go ahead and make a case for them going on the road against the way that this Miami's team playing. So it would be Miami for me laying the big, big boatload of points here. That's where I'm at there. Steve, how are you feeling about that game?
Yeah, where in the world was I when this line opened? I've been riding the Dolphins like Lonely Island the last few weeks, and Miami opened up 10.5. And I was asleep at the wheel. I have Miami tied for six with Baltimore in my power ratings. And it looks like I've regulated Houston to the USFL. They're not even in the NFL anymore. Just because a team is rated higher than another doesn't mean there's value, particularly when they're catching nearly two touchdowns. But Houston's title of worst team in the league is not even up for debate. On offense, they rank 30th in passing, 28th in running, and defensive numbers are equally as bad. Their coach, who was a terrible hire to begin with, is currently living in the past like a 30-year-old still wearing their varsity jacket. And he won't make a QB change just for the sake of making a change, which I find interesting. And I respect the sentiment, especially considering the Texans' goal this year was to find out who their quarterback will be for the next season. Well, they have some answers. It's not Davis Mills, and he's currently playing in college. The best way for them to secure that college quarterback is to lose. I certainly don't expect the players to tank, but organizationally, it is in their best interest to lose and get the number one pick. They are well on their way with a 1-8-1 record to start the year. And Miami can be had defensively, particularly through the air, but the Texans simply don't have the horses to do so. I think the Dolphins win this one going away. I like them. I'm mad at myself for not being available to do that minus 10.5. I grabbed some minus 12.5. I think 13 is not out of the question. If I had nothing else, I'd probably play a little bit right there too.
All right. Well, that makes me feel pretty good. At least, you know, when you get some agreement laying double digits in the NFL, typically you're going to probably end up in a half decent spot. I don't feel like, and it's not like it's a square play. I don't feel like it's a square play there, Steve, but I'm not hearing anybody that wants any part of this Texans team right now. you know, if they can tank, just go ahead and do it now. I mean, winning games right now in the NFL for a team like this, it doesn't do them any favors. So, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want any part of this Texans team whatsoever. Let's jump over to the Bears and the Jets. Jets going to be -4.5. We have a total of 39.5. Steve, did you get the most recent report on Justin Fields? I heard he dislocated or messed up his shoulder pretty good and that he may not actually play. Did you get a report on whether he's going to be a go or not?
I saw a report that actually refuted that was not true. And I think the last thing I heard was Eberflus, the message out of Chicago sounded optimistic about Fields playing, but I don't think anything has been determined yet on that front.
Okay. If he was going to be out, I would certainly be on the Jets here. I still may take the Jets at -4.5. I feel like last week's result, although a gut punch, that the season's not out of their grasp. Like, this team could actually go ahead and they can continue to win games. They have winnable games left on their schedule. And last week's, you know, punt return touchdown that knocked them right out of that game, walk-off win there for the Patriots, that's a gut punch. But that's a big wake-up call. Like, the only thing that can do is piss this team off, because they went into New England, a place where, you know, generally they get their ass kicked, but they hung tough that entire game. And the fact that it was 3-3 with, 15 seconds, 10 seconds left on the clock, that's actually something for them to build on. Like, they know that they're probably much better than this Bears team. And I think the big reason why I actually like the Jets here is because of their quarterback, Zach Wilson, which sounds completely asinine. But the fact that his job isn't secure, and that was kind of, that was a big talking point on a lot of shows. If you guys were looking at Twitter, there were some passes out there, Steve, honestly, that you and I probably could have made. I mean, he was like throwing the ball right over wide receivers' heads that were, 10 yards away from him across the field. Not like it was throwing it into coverage. So it's got to be, kind of a gut check reality for him, and the coaches and players around him are either going to try to perk him up for 1 week, or maybe they don't. Maybe that's what he needs, is, to not have that support, to have to rely on himself to go out there and say, you know what, all right, nobody's looking at me like I'm the future of this team. I need to go out there and change that. So I actually think he has a big game this week against this Bears defense, which hasn't looked all that great. I know the Bears have been playing well, but I just think it's a tough spot for them going on the road against a pissed off Jets team with a quarterback that actually might play half decent. The Jets defense is good enough to hold this Bears team down, I believe. And if Fields is even a little bit banged up, he might be a little hesitant to run, which that's been, one of the things that are working for them. So even though the Jets at -4.5, it seems iffy, but I think the Jets win here and they win comfortable. That's where I'm at on that game. Steve, what about you?
Yeah, I'm on the other side of this one. And a lot of it comes down to what's going on with the Jets more so than the Bears. You mentioned Zach Wilson hasn't been good passing the ball, but I'm even more concerned about the locker room than what he did on the field. You know, when they asked him, did he feel like he let the defense down? His response was no, without hesitation, that he didn't let them down. I mean, how could you not look at that game and think that you let down your team, not only as a quarterback, but as an offense as a whole? That is such an easy statement for a quarterback to make. That's a layup, man. That when someone asks you that kind of question, that has to be a layup answer. Listen, we let them down. We're in this together. We appreciate everything that the defense did. And, they gave us that opportunity to win it, and we didn't take it. That's on us. That's on me as a quarterback. That's such a 101 politically correct answer that you learn in high school. And Zach Wilson doesn't have it. And you wonder what happens with that in the locker room. Now, Robert Saleh came out and defended him and basically said, listen, he's one of our guys. He's fine. We're good. And now reports are coming out that, Zach Wilson's job's in jeopardy and that Joe Flacco could potentially get started, could start this week. And, the line actually dropped down when that report came out to 4.5. And in all honesty, I think Joe Flacco might be an upgrade for that team. Joe Flacco has thrown more TD passes, 5, in 3 games this year than Wilson has thrown in the 7 games that he's played. Irrespective of that, Chicago, 6 of their 8 losses were one-score contests. With Wilson as a quarterback, the Jets averaged 13 points per game in the last 4, and I'll concede that it was against the defenses of Denver, New England twice, and Buffalo, obviously all very good defenses. But Zach Wilson not taking accountability has to be a problem in that locker room. You know, and I know Fields is hurt, but it's his non-throwing shoulder. I do expect him to play. I think we're going to get more of an update tomorrow, more clarity on this situation tomorrow. But even so, Trevor Siemian is a different style of quarterback. The Jets are going to have to game plan for Fields because of how unique it is. If all of a sudden there's a last-minute switch, I think that that's a negative for a defense that schemed the entire week to slow down one person and now has to do a quick shift. We've seen that in the NFL this year. But the fact remains, even in losses, Chicago has played well and hasn't given up on Eberflus by any stretch of the imagination. And in fact, a reporter reported today, that's what reporters do, they do report, so I'm glad I brought clarity to that situation, that Bears QB Justin Fields apologized to his teammates after Chicago's loss to the Falcons in the locker room postgame. Told them that the defense gave the offense a chance to win and the offense didn't get it done. It went a long way with the guys after he played hurt. The exact same question was sent to Justin Fields that Zach Wilson was asked, and Justin Fields hit it out of the park. This is two quarterbacks that are going in opposite directions. Obviously, the Jets' record is 6-4. The Bears are 3-8 or whatever they are. They're not good, whatever it is. But apologizing and having that defense of your defense and apologizing for that. The defense for Chicago gave up 27 points, and Justin Fields apologized. Zach Wilson didn't apologize, and his defense gave up 3. You know, this is a problem. I gave out Chicago +6. If Justin Fields plays, it's a no-brainer. I would take anything +4 or better if Fields is on the field with the risk of sounding redundant.
All right, well, I don't want to sit here and argue with you because everything you said makes a lot of sense, but I think the one thing that kind of that I was hoping for, Steve, is that the locker room didn't have Zach Wilson's back, because if they've had it for multiple weeks in a row and they've been on his side, look what they've got. They've gotten nothing. So maybe you need some tough love, because if he's giving it right back to them, well, then give it right back to him. So I kind of actually like that, but your handicap's strong there. It's going to be an interesting game, one that I'll probably end up watching. Let's go ahead. Let's jump over to our next here. We got the Falcons at the Commanders. Commanders going to be -4, and we have a total of 42. This game's tough because the Falcons, you never know which team's going to show up. They're so Jekyll and Hyde. And I feel that the Commanders are too. A lot of people kind of like this Commanders team. It seems like, you know, they get a couple wins and everybody jumps on board. And then Taylor Heinicke shows up, you know, the reason why he's a backup quarterback and he doesn't play all that well. It's tough for me to get to a side here. If I had to go ahead and choose, I would probably take the Falcons and take the points here. I don't think these teams are really all that far different. I mean, I have a quarterback in Mariota who's far more seasoned, I think, than Heinicke, and he can go ahead and use his legs. But it's tough because you never know what Falcons team is going to show up. As far as the total, I don't have any real lean to the total here. But this is one that I'm more than likely going to stay away from. But if I had to go ahead and force some action in this one, it would be Falcons +4, take the points. The only way I could really get to the Commanders is probably as if it's like -2.5. Then maybe I'd go ahead and take maybe a little nibble on them. But that's about it. Don't really like that game too much there, Steve. What about you?
Yeah, Atlanta is one of the most surprising teams on the year for me. I moved them up nearly 3 points since the preseason, and they've already achieved the win total I set for them in August. They're 15th in passing DVOA and 9th in rushing, which is a surprise for me, and that's where the upgrade really has come from. When Atlanta can put points up on the board, they win games. In fact, Atlanta is 5-0 when they score 18 points or more. They're 0-4 when they score less. And they're going to be tested this week against the Washington defense that in the last 5 games, they're holding opponents to under 16 points per game. It looks as though they should have a stud defensive end, Chase Young, back for this one as well. So much of Washington's recent success has also come with Taylor Heinicke. We've spoken about that in the last couple weeks. They're 4-1 since he took over for Wentz against some decent competition. They beat Green Bay, Indianapolis, Philadelphia, and Houston. Maybe not all great teams, but their only loss was to Minnesota by 3, but ESPN actually gave them an 86% chance to win halfway through the fourth quarter. There are some significant losses and causes for concern for Atlanta. For starters, they're going to be without Kyle Pitts again, which is going to have them rely on the run game even more so than they typically do. But Washington sports the second best run defense in the entire league. So this is setting up to be a bad matchup for Atlanta. The line opened up 3 and has moved up since. If I had no action, I'd lay the 4. You know, it's tough taking a bad number here, especially when that 3 was available to start. I don't think we're done seeing Washington money. I wouldn't be surprised if this closed 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you with that, too. I think the Washington money is going to continue to probably roll in here. Let's jump to our next game. We got the Broncos at the Panthers. This is probably one of the toilet bowls of the week. You got the Broncos minus 2.5, total 36. Low total here, Steve. I'll let you go ahead and start this one out. How are you feeling about Denver and Carolina?
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a Week 12 game that we're less excited than this one. I've actually taken naps that are more intriguing than this game. Even with the obvious under opportunity, I was shocked. The line opened at 34.5 in some places, which is an absurdly low total, even for two teams that couldn't score at a brothel. Denver mortgaged their future so they can they can't tank. I mean, they traded all of their assets for Russell Wilson, so they're in a perfect spot to tank. They need the quarterback desperately, and they invested so much in Russell Wilson that they really are kind of pigeonholed here. They have a championship-level defense and the 29th-ranked offense. That is not a recipe for success. That's why they are where they are. You know, again, this trend's been out there, but they'd be 8-2 if they simply scored 20 points per game, and it'd be better if you saw the Raiders game. What a joke that was. And they had every opportunity to win the game. They should have won the game, and they pissed it away at the end of the game, much to my chagrin and my bank account. But with how well Geno Smith has been playing, it only raises concern that Wilson won't be able to figure this out, even beyond the QB situation. Denver just cut running back Melvin Gordon after Chase Edmonds got injured. Now he's on the injury reserve. He's not even playing. Jerry Jeudy is hurt. KJ Hamler is not practicing. There's no quick fix for this offense. The Broncos only muster 16 points, 5.2 yards per play against the worst defense in the league last week. Why would we expect things to get better against when most of these offensive players are injured? It is not much better on the other side of the ball. Sam Darnold will get the start for this week, and I'm not sure that matters. Carolina ranks dead last in passing DVOA, and Denver's defense is fourth best in defending it. Because of all of this, I could only look towards Carolina in a teaser where points will certainly be at a premium. And if this number sneaks up to 37, there's some 36.5s out there. That would be my buy price for the under.
All right. Interesting. I like that breakdown. I'd be with you here teasing Carolina up. I would actually consider going ahead taking the 2.5 points. I felt like, and I don't know if I said this to you last week there, Steve, about the Rams talking about Darnold, and talking about Stafford, that they were just a dead team, that I held a feeling like his season was going to end up being over if he ended up playing again. And here we are sitting here with this concussion protocol, but I have a feeling Stafford's done. And I don't know where Russell Wilson sits with this team right now, but the fact that they lost to the Raiders and the defense goes out and they play their ass off each and every week, and it was like, dude, like, you can't do anything with anybody that we have right now. Like, I don't know. Where does the finger get pointed at? You can't point it at the defense. I'm not sure if you could point it at the coach, maybe. But, I mean, a lot of the blame's got to come down on Russell Wilson. Like, you were supposed to be the savior, and you're, you know, doing all this craziness. I actually have a feeling that the defense with Denver kind of gives up this week, that they just get real light and they just say, you know what, we're going on the road. The season's over. That was a dream crusher for them, because at four wins, you know, they maybe could do something. Maybe they could string a couple wins together or something like that and you know, make something happen. But I feel like Denver is going to just go out. Like, the defense has been carrying that team, and I feel like they're not going to carry them this week. That's just the way that I feel. And if you ask yourself, you know, which team's been intact longer outside of, you know, Sam Darnold being the quarterback, like, the Panthers know who they are and what they've been. They've actually been fighting in these games. So I think that they come out here with a spirited effort. They've already ruined their season. They can't really tank. At least that's kind of what I think. But I would really look at the Panthers in a teaser. I think that's a really good wager. Or just take the 2.5 points. I think Denver completely gives up on Russell Wilson. And I don't know what they do, but they had all the pieces in line. They had three tight ends. They had Jerry Jeudy. They had Sutton. You know, they had a running back. All right, cool. He went down in Williams, and those things happen. But for some reason, this team's just not responding, and it doesn't seem like they like Russell Wilson all that much. So I can't get the Denver here. There's just no way. I have a feeling that defense just gives up on them this week. So that's where I'm at with that game. It would be the Panthers for me in a teaser. Or just go ahead and take them. Let's jump over to the Ravens. They'll be on the road here at Jacksonville. Ravens minus 4. We have a total of 44. Steve, I'll let you go ahead and start out our last game here. What do you got?
Jacksonville's off a bye, but that doesn't necessarily correlate to success. We don't need to look any further than the Ravens just this past week. Off a bye, their offense was absolutely abysmal, only able to produce 13 points with extra time to prepare against a below-average defense. So I'm not putting a ton of stock into Jacksonville because of their spot. If anything, unless Lamar was injured last week, perhaps he shook some of that rust off. Baltimore has been riding high, winning four straight games against Cleveland, Tampa, New Orleans, and Carolina. They're the third-rated DVOA team and the only team besides Buffalo to be top 11 in all three phases of the game. So they're very well-rounded. You saw last week, if one phase of the team doesn't play well, the rest step up. They should be able to run against the average Jacksonville defense, and with Mark Andrews back, should be able to produce in the passing game as well. Jacksonville's the third-worst pass defense. Jacksonville, despite getting an upgrade at the head coaching position, they're still 3-7. They lost six of their last, have lost six of their last seven. They're last in the AFC, but they have outscored their opponents by 11 points this year. Good for the best mark in the South. So it's very interesting that although their record suggests they're bad, the underlying stats don't necessarily say that. It's not an overly impressive number, but they've given up the same YPP as they have gained, meaning that by definition, they're an average team. The record is deceptive. This isn't a bottom feeder team. If I'm backing Baltimore, I think I'd rather play the money line. I have more faith in them winning the game than getting a margin here. And also of note, Jacksonville has gone under in four straight games. Baltimore, seven of the last eight. This number was hit since the opener, so the market has reacted to that trend. I think under 44 at Bookmaker and Canby is worth a look. Other than that, this is probably the one game that we talked about that I'm least excited about running to the window to bet anything here.
All right, so Steve probably looking to go ahead and maybe pass on that one. I like what you said there when you said you would look to go ahead and take the Ravens on the money line if you were going to do anything because you're afraid to lay the points. And that would put me on the Jaguars here. Yeah, the Jaguars have extra rest, but I think that team's rounding into shape here. You know, they just went up. They played the Chiefs. They played them tough in Kansas City, only lost that game by 10, beat the Raiders, and they probably should have beat the Broncos. I mean, they hung tough with the Giants, hung tough with the Colts, just losing games that they shouldn't be. And I think that there were, I don't know, maybe like certain parts of the season there, Steve, where it was kind of like just a deflating thing for them. It was like, damn, like we should have won that game. Like we should have won that game. And then you hang your head and it's a young team. I just feel like giving them a week off and they realize where they're at, that if there was any type of dream crush, and I think their dream crusher type of stuff came multiple times. Maybe it was against the Eagles in a game that, you know, that they got run over in, or a loss to the Texans probably was really deflating for them. So I don't know where they come in here mentally, but I don't think it's going to be like this dream crusher, the season's over type of thing. This is a team that over the last couple of years has been absolutely terrible. And if they could at least finish with, you know, a half-decent record, maybe they end up with six wins on the year, seven wins on the year, I think that they're going to be happy going into next year. So I think that this team in general, they're going to treat every game the rest of the way like it's the Super Bowl. And that worries me about the Ravens because the Ravens haven't exactly looked all – I don't want to say all that great, but they just haven't looked like the Ravens team that should be laying 4 points here on the road against a Jacksonville team that's going to be rested. I think the Jaguars could probably use ETN and confuse the Ravens defense as much as possible. And if Lawrence could go ahead and avoid mistakes, I could see this game being one of those 1, 2, 3, 4 point games at best and either team winning. It would not surprise me here if Jacksonville won. And you got to wonder, you know, if it's going to be a little warm down there, you know, what this Ravens team's going to feel like, you know, come fourth quarter. So it'd be the Jaguars for me taking the points at +4. Don't love it, just like it a little bit, but that's the way I would go with that one. But that'll wrap it up, guys. Good stuff from Steve. Thank you for jumping on. As I mentioned, Uncle Dave traveling. We did do the Thanksgiving Day game, so go ahead and do that. And myself, Dan, it's smooth. We'll knock out the remaining five games on the schedule that Steve and I did not cover. But you guys know where to find us on Twitter, at SleepyJ_pregame, at AvoidTheVig. You guys could always get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. With that said, I'd like to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the games.